Father God, I pray that you would take our worship and it would be pleasing and acceptable to you this morning. You would take the words I'll say when I'm preaching and you would fill them and speak to our hearts and transform us and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We start on page 249 of Common Worship. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, the fountain of all goodness, bless our sovereign lady, Queen Elizabeth, and all who are in authority under her, that they may order all things in wisdom and equity, righteousness and peace, to the honour and glory of your name and the good of your church and people. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We say together the collect on the notice sheet. God, our judge and saviour, teach us to be open to your truth and trust in your love, that we may live each day with confidence in the salvation which is given through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Come now to our readings.
Our first reading is James chapter 5, reading from verse 13 to the end of the chapter. James chapter 5, beginning at verse 13, it's on page 1216 of the Church Bibles. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you ill? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Stand for our gospel reading. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Teacher, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said, For no one who does a miracle in my name can the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, if anyone gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to the Messiah, will certainly not lose their reward. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed with two hands than go to hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and their fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We say the creed together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. So I finished preparing my sermon last night after a busy day, and I thought, I'm not going to print it out because the printer's in one of the children's bedrooms. So it's probably a good thing I didn't, because I'd have slept even worse, because it turns out it ran out of ink halfway through printing it. So I don't have the first couple of pages, but that will be okay. Usually they're the ones I've read the most, actually, whereas it comes to the end, and I find that I've read that the least by the time I get to the end of the sermon. I'm going to preach this morning on the message we heard from the book of James. I'll just find that again in here. So that was James 5, verses 13 to 20. And I'm going to focus really on the bit about prayer in there. And what we've got in that paragraph is James saying, whatever's happening in life, take it to God, reflect on God. And I think I've heard it said a lot, and I think it's true, that prayer can be really quite tough. I mean, there are some people who just go for it. You know, it doesn't matter what's happening in their life. They've always got time to pray. They always find time to pray. And there are other people in life, I think, like me, and it can be the smallest thing that disrupts my daily routine, and I suddenly find that it's gone. It doesn't matter what it is, and I have to work to try and get it back. Is there anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. And that reminded me of taking exams when I was a lot younger, about 20 years ago now, roughly, and praying that if this stuff went wrong, that God would be there in my failure and that my failure would belong to God. That if I had put the effort in, if I had done what I thought was right, hey, look, this failure was God. I'd obeyed God's will. I'd studied hard. I'd done my revision. And I felt really at peace about that. And I think in any congregation of any size, is anyone in trouble? And at some point, I think if there's more than two people, even if there is just two people, there's a high probability that somebody's got something going on in their life that they describe as trouble. So pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. And there's a second part to that exam story. And it's one of the few times in my life I can remember really hearing what I think was God speaking to me. And I'd say, God, you know, here's my failure. And if I fail, it's down to you. And God said, yes. And I felt very peaceful. And then I heard, and by the way, if you succeed, that's mine as well. Right? Oh, all right, that's to my glory. This isn't to your glory. If you hand me your failure, you can hand me your success. And like I said, I think with prayer, there are some people who just fly at this stuff. And I think for some folks, if there's trouble, it's easy to pray. But when things get good, it's easy to forget God. Because, hey, you know, it's brilliant. I'm great. I'm winning. What do I need God for? I don't need to pray. And there are some folks that when trouble comes along, it knocks them for six. Oh, why would God let this happen to me? This is horrible. And then when things are great, thank you, God, this is wonderful. And again, like I said with me, it can be anything that knocks me off. It can be a new commute on the way to work, you know. I get into a routine and I know where I'm going to put my prayer time. And that changes because a child turns up in the morning and it's gone. And you have to work to get it back. But it's saying, if you're in trouble, pray. If you're happy, sing songs of praise. If anyone among you is ill, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And this one, reading the commentaries around this, I thought, elders, and we don't really have that term elder in the Anglican Church. And that word there is what we would say is presbyter. And when in the ordination material for priests, that's the same as a priest. They're interchangeable in the Anglican Church. Other churches would recognise the role of elders. That's great. I wouldn't split hairs over that. And actually, I think it's probably just as valid as what we do here. But here it's saying, if you are sick, do call the leaders of the church. In an Anglican church, drop the church line an office, drop the church office line, and David and I should probably be popping round as the ordained members of clergy. And it does say elders, so you can probably expect more than one to turn up. That's just a common sense thing. And anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And none of this is magic now. We don't know what they actually did back then when it says anoint them. So you've got to have a good guess. There's not enough evidence to say this is how it should look. So we're not trying to recreate some ancient rite. It just says anoint them with oil. Well, why not? Let's be obedient. There's something there about oil being for healing. There's something there about it being for blessing and anointing, like for a king. But we can still be obedient. And then in the name of the Lord, this is about marking this out as God's. About not saying, like, this is the elders of the church. We're not saying go and get some special apostles who have a gift of healing. Just go and get the leaders. This is their job. Bring them in. Get them to pray for you. And do it in the name of God, because it's not them. They're not special. They're not magical. This is God's work. Mark this out as God's. So if you are healed, this is to God's glory. If you're not healed, this is part of God's plan, potentially. Maybe it's not. Maybe there's something else happening. And then it comes to the bit that I struggle with. And it starts to sound, and I'll see if I can find my notes. And it starts to sound rather like something that can be reasoned out or played with in a logical way. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. That sounds like a certainty at that point. Now, my experience is that when you pray for people to get well, sometimes they don't. And in fact, quite a bit of the time, they don't. And in fact, I've only got one prayer that has 100% success rate when praying for people. Unfortunately, that's only a sample of one. So, and that was my grandfather when he was very ill. And I said to him, it's okay, you can go now, Grandpa. And I said, God, please let him go. Please take him. And he died on the spot. So that's the only prayer I've got with 100% success rate. And people don't tend to ask me to pray that one. They're not so keen on it. But how would you explain it? I don't think you can. I think it's a mystery, actually. And I think trying to reason it out, you end up in a pickle, probably, and end up tying yourself in knots. And there are examples in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 to 10, Paul talks about having a thorn in the flesh. This is Paul the apostle. When people touched bits of fabric, his handkerchiefs, it says, they became better, right? And he prayed, it said, to God on several occasions, God, please heal me. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient. And there's another one, 2 Timothy 4:20, and it talks about some of the apostles going off and having to leave somebody behind because they didn't get better, they were sick. Hey, so why didn't these super people, full of the Holy Spirit, doing miraculous things, just heal this person? I don't know. And it's hard, I think it's hard under those circumstances to continue sometimes to trust in God when you pray and you pray. But that is what we're called to do, and sometimes that is genuinely hard work. And then James continues, if they've sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And here, the work of prayer extends beyond the elders to the presbyters of the church. And it might get a bit uncomfortable. Confess your sins to each other. Not sure about that. I don't know that I want to tell you what I did this week that I'm not particularly proud of. Why should I tell somebody else? This is in the context, though, of healing. So I would say that in the context of praying for healing, it's a good discipline. It's a good idea. On the whole, it probably relates to saying, look, you know there is something not right in your life. It's not about trying to dredge for everything. No, hang on, I got up on Monday, right? And one of the kids came down while I was eating breakfast and I was a bit short with them because usually I have that time to myself and I managed to get out of the house really quickly. Right, okay. And on the way to work, that guy cut me up and I was a bit wound up. I don't think it's about scraping the bottom of my sinful barrel life, just trying to find the bits and pieces just in case they're there. I think this is, in the case of healing, hey, is there something that is really wrong at the moment that's happening in your life? That you really need to go and confess to somebody, because stuff in secret is powerful. Stuff that's shared openly loses some of its sting, because then you can be accountable to somebody that you trust. However, I would say that confession is a good practice as well. Having people that you can trust, that you can talk through the things you struggle with in life, is good. And when it says confess your sins to each other, be wise about who you confess to. Don't confess to somebody who's a gossip. Don't confess to somebody who's judgmental and is going to say, oh, you didn't. Oh, that's awful. Oh, wow. Oh, no, you know, that's just useless. That's not what you want. You want somebody that can hear you as another loving human being and not judge and not gossip. And while we don't see confession in the Anglican Church as a sacrament, again, that is something that both David and I would be happy to listen to if people needed to talk to us about what was happening in their lives and what was difficult. And it says, "Go." The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I think that's probably linked together. Find that righteous person, that person who isn't a gossip, who is wise, and confess to them. You've heard me preach at the 10:30 or heard me lead the service at the 10:30. I'll often say, there's prayer available in the sanctuary. You can come and find me or David on the leadership team. We'll pray for you for healing if you want. Or we're all ministers of God's grace. We all can impart God's grace. We can all pray for each other. There's no magic formula. Just pray for each other and use some common sense. I'm not, at the 10:30, it's going to be a similar sermon, but there's going to be some guidelines because it's a bigger congregation of people who are maybe a little bit less mature in their faith, and you kind of think, gosh, I don't want to give people a carte blanche to walk up to a random stranger and just say, right, I'm going to pray for you. Actually, this is something we ask for. Or possibly if we notice somebody really upset that we care for, we might say to them, look, could I pray for you? Would you like me to pray for you? Or what would you like me to pray for you? And it is as simple as that. Asking with that degree of care and passion that we have in our hearts for another person, asking God to heal them. So, drawing this to a close, the theme of this is prayer. If you start in trouble, take it to God. If you're in a great place at the moment, praise God for it. If you need healing, reach out, ask us to pray for you. Or turn to somebody that you trust and ask them to pray for you. And we have a God who does heal. Amen. Let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.